Honestly, I will love it if we beat them.
Yes, everyone, good Friday evening to everyone. Hope you're all doing all right. Hope everyone's well. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by James Ryan from the Slow Readers Club. James, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right, mate, yeah. Good. Call me James. I don't normally get that.
Is it Jim?
So, yeah, well, normally, yeah, but I'll take whatever.
All right, fair enough. I'm here with Jim from the Slow Readers Club. These guys had an album released today, The Joy of the Return, which is a little bit of a play on what we've done there with the title, because
yeah, clever that.
James is also a United fan. And desperately waiting for the Reds to come back, innit?
Fucking hell, man. It's just depressing, innit? No football. Never mind, just with all the shit that's going on, it's just be good to watch a match, isn't it? Even whatever it is, just any football. But yeah, especially within a good bit of form. And then
look at the last time we was at Old Trafford, that goal from McTominay.
Yeah.
That might be the last time we go in.
I know. I just can't. I don't know when it's going to start again, but yeah, it's just fucking depressing.
We was meant to do something totally unprecedented that we've never done on here before, and honestly, like, I was like a fucking kid in a sweet shop waiting for this today.
Oh man!
And we're unfortunately we don't actually have it because what are we even saying?
We're going to do some acoustic tunes. We were going to play some acoustic tunes, and they got like a decent setup. I don't know if people can see it on the camera over there, but yeah. We just couldn't, all of us couldn't get here in order to do it. So we'll be back. No, we'll do it again.
Yes.
We'll do it again. If you're going to have us, we'll do it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to that. So hopefully we will actually get some live music. We have got their music videos with us that we can actually throw on the stream as well. So we're going to be doing two from the new album and then my favourite tune to see us out for the rest of the day. So we'll throw them in a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about the band and all that sort of stuff.
Nice one, yeah.
But let's talk a bit about United this season. Started off okay with that game against Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think it was okay is the word for that, even though the result was belting.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it went a bit west.
Yeah.
And then just it's a bit. Gone a bit mint again, hasn't it, since the turn of the year?
Yeah, no, it has. It's been good. It's like, obviously, going back to the season before when, you know, Ollie come in and then, you know, we went on his winning streak and then he got the job and then it went a bit tits up. But, yeah, starting the season, we thought, that's it. Even though I know we didn't play great and people said it wasn't a 4-0 result, but it was, because we scored four and it didn't.
Yep, that's how it
But it was, yeah, and it went a bit crap from then. And obviously it gets worse when you see Liverpool doing so well and City not beating them as bad as that is, which is fucking ridiculous, isn't it? That like you want City to win the league and stuff like that.
You have to look yourself in the mirror and go, great or good. That's
I know.
Why.
But then, so it's gone well recently. And obviously now, you know, like you've just been speaking then before, McTominay scored that goal and then you think, right, this is it. You know, we're back. Not back, you know, I'm not talking about getting back to where we were like years ago, but I mean...
On the right track.
Yeah, we're on the right track there. And obviously this comes in, you know, that game behind closed doors and then just no football. It's weird. I don't even know when the next game will be. Because obviously players can't train or they're not training together. So they're doing bits at home, kicking up fucking toilet rolls and that. And then... I don't know. Don't know when they're going to be back.
That's it. I think I could mentally prepare. Now, the Premier League have said, haven't they? They released a statement yesterday, I think it was. April 30th. At the earliest, we'll be back. And I don't think they're going to be back on April 30th.
No, I can't see it. I just think them, the government, whatever, they keep giving us like dates, which are like carrots. And then it calms us down a bit. And then when we get there, it's like, no, it's going to be another month or whatever.
Not today.
I just can't see it before summer. I don't know. I hope so, but maybe they'll just get to a point where they say, we'll just do these games behind closed doors, even though they're talking that they shouldn't do that. But I don't know. Because I know they want to get, they've announced that it's going to definitely be finished, regardless of when. So I'm sure they want it finished as quickly as possible so they can focus on the next season.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense to me to mess two seasons up if they're saying it's indefinite. I think you've got to say, well, 30th of June, which is in the FA rules.
Yeah.
Everything's got to be finished by 30th of June is the time. That's what UEFA came out and said the other day. Everything's got to be finished by then. And the Premier League's going, we'll just do what we want.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
and you're clutching at that in case, just hoping that we can't get there. Liverpool can't get the league title.
But you know what?
But
If they just awarded them, well, they didn't win it.
Yeah.
And
it's always something to beat them with.
I am holding that. I am holding on to that. If they go and win it, then no team wins the league by accident.
No. So they're far way ahead of anyone, aren't they? Really. As bad as it is. You know, I'm fucking saying it's like driving a dagger in my own heart, but they've just been by far the best team this season, unfortunately, for us and everyone else. But
imagine they've lost.
If it was United and we didn't get the league, I'd be fucking fuming. Put it that way.
What if they lost in two seasons, two games?
Yeah.
And won fuck all, potentially.
I know. It's mad. I know.
You couldn't write a comedy funnier than that.
No, I know. But I'm just so buzzing Watford beaten before this all come in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're unbeaten going
yeah,
into it.
I was over in Belfast and I watched that game, like made sure I went out of my way to watch it because I had a sneaky feeling because they've been on a bit of a... I'm not about talking about Liverpool anyway, we're on a United thing.
Yeah,
but,
fuck them off.
Yeah, let's move on.
But yeah, like, where do you think it's gone right for Ollie since the turn of the year? Obviously, Bruno's had a massive part to play in that. But what do you think has been the turning point? Do you think it's the team starting to get his methods? Do you think...
Possibly. Obviously, when you buy someone who's that good, though, and I know everyone's saying, oh, you're talking too soon, you know, he might... It's the honeymoon period or whatever, but it's fucking obvious how good he is. But when we were sort of average... And if you go and get someone who's so good, it can turn your full team around. And I'm just annoying me that, why don't we get him in the summer? Because he was the player we were supposed to be buying.
Well, we was linked to him.
Yeah.
But, you know, the word on the street was we didn't go in for him. It wasn't a case of he wouldn't come.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we never tried.
Yeah, well.
And you're like, well, fuck.
Well, I'm glad we did. I'm glad we did. And I do think a player like that comes in and then, you know, you're getting training and that, and it gives everybody a boost and it makes everybody a bit sharp and it makes you think, shit, he's not bad, him. I better up my game a little bit. Mm. But I do think it's a gradual thing. They're getting the message, you know, they're playing in a certain way. And the big thing Solskjaer said all the way through is buying, we try to sign characters. He's not necessarily going out and trying to sign like Galacticos, like Real Madrid or whatever. And maybe that's where we went wrong a few years ago, trying to sign these big players.
Falcao, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he's trying to buy players now who believe in, you know, his vision or what he wants to do, and they've got that mentality and they're not just there for a paycheck or they're not just there because it's United and he's buying players who, you know, the good characters. Don't get me wrong, as well as being good fucking footballers, but it's the right character. And maybe that's what's working.
Yeah, well, Bruno's come in his first game, you can see him moaning at runs,
telling
people where to go. Igalo, oh my God. Has you ever seen a player taken to by a fan base?
I know,
as
it's
fast?
Fucking mad, yeah.
But it's mint, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember watching him when we... where was the game now we were playing? Anyway, he's done it a few times in the games, but the ball went up to him. And obviously going back, you know, a couple of seasons when we bought Lukaku, I'll be honest, I never rated him anyway, even when
he
was at Everton.
I loved him, I was well
but,
excited.
But people thought, you're going to hit the ball to him, he'll hold it up, bring players into the game, he'll obviously bang you in 30 goals a season, whatever. But every time a ball goes up to Igalo, it's like he just pinned to him. He'll hold it and he'll bring other players in and you would have expected that of Al Lukaku played, but to be fair, we signed him and it was a bit of a gamble. And, you know, I know he's not banging goals in left, right and centre and he's coming on as a sub and everything, but when he's coming on, he's doing the business, so you can't moan.
No, it's not. And if he's our backup striker, Jesus, I'm having that.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. And I think it's a shame what's happened now. We stopped, you know, playing for a bit, but I honestly think if the season would have carried on and it would have finished when it would have finished, they probably would have took an option to maybe keep him for another 12 months because if he has got that right character and he's not bothered about sitting on the fucking bench,
oh, yeah,
then you know you want them players all day long. You aren't going to moan when they're on the bench, don't you?
Yeah, I want him. I want him now as permanent striker.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether, you know, whether that's on a bench or whatever. It
yeah,
is,
yeah.
I just want him in. I'd love to be able to see like, what's your expectation for what we're going to do next season? When is next season?
I don't know.
This is a mad. Like, you're in a similar situation to us, aren't we? I mean, we just sort of said it out there. Like, if no one watches you, you're basically unemployed.
Yeah, that's how I feel at the minute. Yeah, unemployed, sort of self-employed, unemployed. But no, it is. It's a mad situation for loads of fucking industries out
there.
The
whole hospitality industry just got closed off today. You know, hotels, travel company.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if there's a single. Like, the construction industry is the one that's still going. Cause I know that if that goes, the country is potentially fucked.
Yeah.
But that's going to come to a head as well because there's still, you know, big groups of dudes going to a site. It's still as dangerous as going to a pub in my eyes.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, yeah.
You're sweating around, aren't you? So
yeah.
That can't be long.
It's yeah. I don't know. It's obviously the places like your food places, your supermarkets and that, they'll be all right as in they're allowed to carry on. But yeah, industries are just dropping like flies and the football industry, it's massive. Like, I know it sounds daft, but you got hotel football right next to Old Trafford. The amount of, I know people might randomly stay there, but there's no travelling now. There's no football matches. And then there's not only that, they've got the little chippies, the burger vans, all that sort of stuff. And you guys on this channel who rely on football matches in order to get money and employ people. And when football's not on, it's just massive. Not only does it make everyone depressed because you can't watch a game at the weekend, but it puts people out of work.
Well, at the end of the season, there's generally transfers and pre-season to look forward to. We covered pre-season Australia and Singapore last year, and it was amazing, honestly. If we can do that every year, I'm in.
Yeah.
It was brilliant going meeting fans in Australia, going meeting fans, and not just at a club, but our own.
Yeah.
It was sensational. And then obviously the transfers happening, and you go from the end of a season into the transfers, into that, and the season started, and you don't miss anything.
Yeah.
What the worst times for us is international breaks. You don't give a shit about
games. No.
And there's no transfers generally in the November international break. So we're now on like this big international break, but we can't even watch the internationals. This is horrendous.
Yeah, you can't even talk about like United players who perform well in internationals, can you?
Nothing.
It's just literally nothing.
Nothing.
Apart from people.
I had a good chat with Danny Higginbottom earlier, which we're going out on Monday. So definitely stay tuned for that. That's going to be a good one. If we go into lockdown next week, I'll be doing more of these, but via Skype, I imagine.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go through, and try and hit as many contacts as I can for ex-players and stuff like that. And
like,
tell me a story about pre-season in 1984. Go.
And then that's it.
Just see what we've got, yeah. It's grim.
It is.
I'm doing my own editing.
But the thing is, on the flip side of that, there'd be more people sat at home going on YouTube trying to watch something because there's nothing on the telly. Like, they've been fucking on EastEnders is on twice a week now, isn't it? And they've stopped filming and all that. So eventually you're going to run out of EastEnders to watch. So you might be the new EastEnders.
Just people making shit at home.
Yeah.
Mental,
just make something where, make a video where on one hand something really positive is happening, but then you keep flipping to another scene where there's some really bad negative shit happening. That's fucking EastEnders summarised there. And people might watch it.
Yeah, maybe.
If EastEnders is off, they might start watching you.
Well, I was going to do a new series maybe next week. We'll see. I like my rum.
Right.
I was going to do something called The Rumdown. And I was just going to cover current events. I might as well call it the COVID-19 news, really, aren't I? Let's be honest.
Talk
about whatever's happening during the day because there's literally fuck all else to talk about. It's not even just like, oh, there's no football. I like rugby. I like MMA. I can go and talk about them. There's none of them either.
No.
There's literally fucking nothing.
Yeah, MMA doesn't exist with like the 2 meter distance, does it? You know, unless you give them weapons.
Now you're
interested. Do you know what I mean? Like a 3 meter long bat.
Do you know what? Joe just had a belting idea.
Yeah.
It might work for you guys as well. What if we did drive-in gigs? Like used to do drive-in cinema.
Yeah. Yeah, suppose everyone's sitting in the cars.
Yeah.
But then you'll have the fucking, what's it, when someone will get out and then everyone will get out and then it's just turning
out.
Turn it a massive gig. But no, the obviously yous have been doing it a while with the streaming stuff, but there's been loads of like acts online recently streaming shows they've done. Like we did that one last night. But I think like bands, musicians, whatever, it's the only way they can do stuff. And they're doing it obviously to, I know people are doing it to like make other people sort of give them a bit of positivity and stuff like that. But you've got to do it as well because otherwise there's nothing that we can do.
Yeah, there's literally nothing to do, isn't it?
We can't go to practice. Well, at the minute we still can, but eventually when we get told fully, you can't, we can go, we won't be able to go with you, so we won't be able to practice, we won't be able to see the lads. So then we were speaking about the other night how we were going to remotely do shit, and it's just mad that the way like it, that this is what it's got to, but I'm sure there'll be a way around it and we will be putting more stuff online. But what we put online yet, I don't know how we do it. I haven't got a fucking clue.
Shall we play one of your new singles?
Yeah, do it, yeah.
Which one are we going to go for?
All I Hear, innit?
All I Hear, right. This one's the
first single off the new album.
Yeah, it's literally number one on the album as well, isn't it?
It's first track on the album, yeah, which is out today, by the way.
Yeah, so the album's out today. I put a link in the description to Spotify, so go and check it out. I believe the check I saw earlier was that you was up to number 5 in the chart.
I think so, yeah, we got, number 5 in the charts at the minute, which is like just a day old, but I'll take that.
That's not a bad way to kick in, is it? It's better than like, do we chart?
No, the COVID charts, number 5.
So look, is everyone in the band a red?
Yeah.
Right, come on, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Just for that alone, just give it a listen. Just leave it on in the background if you have to. But anyway, I've never done anything like this before.
This is
All I Hear by the Slow Readers Club.
Boom.
How cool is that? Did you enjoy that, everyone? Mate, that was sick.
Cheers.
We've had a comment.
I've just got change now. I've just come, just shot that there live.
We've got rid of the Hacienda thing as yeah. well, since you're fucking moaning. Don't know your heritage. Right, so Joe Green, do we know if that's his real name?
I don't know. I think says, that rings a bell.
What the fuck? He used to be my ICT teacher. You what?
Yeah, I used to teach before I was in a band.
Used to teach IT?
No, no, right. I've been in a band right. before anything, like from school, like not this band, but you know, like playing in bands and that. But then I started teaching about 10, 12 years ago or something. And then, yeah, so I've obviously taught a few high school kids, so secondary school. But yeah, so I must have taught.
Isn't that weird being in a band? Because being in a band is a cool job, but being an ICT teacher, that's not a really cool job, is it?
No, it was all right. It was all right. I fucking wish I was now, I tell you. getting sent home full pay.
Yeah, true.
But no, it was all right. It was good. And working like teaching secondary school and having a laugh with the kids and everything like that, it was decent. So there were the worst jobs out there. But yeah, we jacked our jobs in. Not December, just gone in December before. So December 2018.
Just over a year.
Yeah. To do the band full time. And so, yeah, we've been doing it like a year and 3 months, whatever. And then obviously this is
it has now. Been going.
Yeah, longer than that.
2011, isn't it?
Yeah. I was in a band when I was teaching. So like, and the other lads were working as well. So we'd do a gig, get home 2-3 o'clock in the morning, up at 6 in work. Leave work 3 o'clock. Yeah, do a gig, whatever. Or like literally leave work and have to fly to Southampton, do a gig in Southampton. I remember driving home from Southampton. I think I got in at about probably 5:10, up at 6, full day again. Yeah. So like we did it. And I think it's mad though, like the amount of tough times. You know, people say, you know, the hard graft starts when you get a record deal and all that. Fucking doesn't, man. We were doing the hard graft before that, you know, doing two jobs and everything. And fair play to the other lads as well in the band. They were all the same. They had the same commitments. But yeah,
did you all jack it in at the same time?
Yeah, we all jacked in at the same time. Because we just said, look, if we're doing it, we're all doing it. So we need to make a decision. Are we going to make a stab at being in a band or what? Because we were getting to the point where we're turning gigs down, which we never wanted to do. So we were turning festivals down because work and stuff. And obviously with my job, I couldn't book a day off. Don't get me wrong, I'm not moaning. I've got 13 weeks off a year, but I couldn't book a day off. I was just limited to my holidays.
With teachers, it's like, you're going to get loads of time off.
Yeah, but you can't book time off. Yeah, exactly. So you get told when it is. So, but yeah, so we got to the point where we just thought, we need to make a decision. So we did it, and then we were able to do the tour we just cancelled. Was like 30-odd gigs. So if we weren't back in work, we wouldn't have been able to do that.
I'm going to say was, because it's not going to happen no more, is it? But we was looking at the website earlier, and I was saying to Alex, one of the lads off Paddock, I was like, fucking look at this.
Yeah, that's where we're going, yeah.
Yeah, like one night off in April, I think, maybe.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
was just boom, boom, boom. It was all over Britain and Europe, wasn't it?
Yeah, Britain and Europe, yeah. It's like, Croatia, Hungary, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Italy, France, Spain. Yeah, Holland, Germany. I can carry on. I want a geography teacher. But yeah, so loads of places, and we're just like, instead of being around Europe, I'm going to sat in my fucking garden for, you know, next 3 months.
You know what? There better be some good songs come out of this. Not just from you guys, but from this whole generation. There's yeah. got to be some creativity get sparked by people. I've watched everything on Netflix now. I'm going to make my own band, or I'm going to make my own music. Yeah. Or come on. Fucking sort some out. There's got to be some. The memes have been good.
Yeah.
The memes have, I think, just overtaken today, I would say, the World War III memes from this year.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was the other lad's jobs in the band?
Aaron, a singer, was a designer. So he does a lot of our artwork and stuff like that, which is really fucking fortunate. And he is good at it, to be fair.
Yeah, it is good artwork.
Yeah. Kurt, who's a guitarist, he worked in like a doctor's surgery. Managing the doctor's practice, whatever you want the doctor, but he was like helping manage how to run it. And David, the drummer, he did like commercial insurance and stuff like that. So we had like fucking, we all had proper like nerd jobs. Yeah, 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 man. But like, you know, like Batman, you know what I mean? Like it gets a night time and then you just put your fucking black cloak on and then you go and write some tunes.
You supported James I think I read somewhere saying that the Castlefield Bowl was the one that made you really go, oh my God, like, there's a real crowd here for us.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was like, we did 13 dates with them when they asked us to come support them on the Girl at the End of the World tour, it was. We did 13 dates with them around the UK. And then they liked us and they sort of shoehorned us into the arena gig because we weren't supposed to be on at the arena gig because they'd had another act who was supporting them already boxed off. Mm. They even got a stage, a little snide Jekyll stage made for us in the Echo Arena in Liverpool in the foyer because they wanted us to play there. But they had Charlton supporting them that night and the main stage was full of all the gear, so we couldn't fit on there. So they sort of shoehorned us in on there as well. And then they offered us to support them at Castlefield. And when we got to that gig, we were just thinking, right, we'll get on, we'll do our gig. And obviously, most of the crowd comes after a warm-up act, don't they? But yeah, it was when we were playing, it was fucking hammered and like people singing our tunes back because obviously we'd pick their fans up over doing all these 13 gigs. Yeah, and it was a mad thing just to realise like we're in our hometown and we've got all these people who come and watch us. But and obviously then we went on to do our own thing at the Apollo, which was mad. You know, I've been and watched loads of gigs there and we're fucking, I remember the Apollo gig. I think the Apollo gig was the end of 2018. I left work, like I'd literally finished work for the day, 3 o'clock, went sound checked the Apollo, and then at the night fucking playing to like 3,500 people at the Apollo, thinking it's just mad. But luckily, obviously, you know, 5 days later, that was when work finished and we jacked our jobs in, and then we went full time.
That's got to be a wild feeling going back to work the next day after that.
Yeah, it's mad. But even like when we did the James,
was it any of your pupils?
They knew I was in a band.
None of them go watch.
No, but I didn't give it the big one about being in a band because they're all listening to rap music and all that. You know what I mean? And you're not asked about the teacher being in a band because their teacher's just a fucking knob as far as they're concerned. So I kept quiet about it because I thought, I'm not going to tell you in a band because one, I can't be asked. Two, I just want you to shut up and leave me to look at Sky Sports News while you're doing your work. And three, it was just like I knew they wouldn't be fucking into it because they're too busy into their own stuff, which is fair enough. But yeah, it was like, I remember doing some of those James gigs and we went and played at Brixton Academy. Like, so, you know, Brixton Academy is a proper fucking venue where you think I'd love to play there. One of them iconic ones. Did a gig at Brixton Academy and then like you didn't work the next morning. And you're just thinking, fucking hell, man, what's going on here? What are we doing wrong? But just grafting, then it paid off. We left our jobs and we were able to do it.
Why do you think that was, that it took from 2011 to 2018 to be able to do that?
Just because we never had, I'm getting a violin out here, but we never had the exposure or the opportunities that maybe other acts have. So like,
do you think it had gone a bit just reality just, TV in the middle?
It's a bit, I don't know. It's just, if we would have been out back in the day of Britpop, we'd be fine because they were just chucking money at any band back then. Do you know what I mean? There was that many bands and everyone was riding that Britpop wave. Whereas when we sort of were starting to try and make a thing of this being in a band, no one was that interested or like, you know, the Arctic Monkeys were out a bit and then there was a lot of bands from Sheffield who were getting, you know, deals and stuff like that. And unless you sort of sounded like them, and that's the weird thing, labels want you to be a sure fucking hit now, and especially with social media nowadays, if you've not got a decent amount of followers, you might not know what I fucking know who you are. And no. So there's, even though it's better because you can stick your tunes on Spotify or YouTube or Instagram or Twitter or whatever you want to do, so you can get your tunes out there easier, you're competing with everyone else who's doing it as well, and unless someone is reeled in straight away, they just flip to the next thing. It's like back in the day, you used to sell an album on a CD and you got a bar price in fucking town there, you buy your album, and that was it. If you didn't like it, it was tough, you had to play it again because that's the new album you had for that week. And then eventually you got to like it, whereas now if you don't like something, you just switch to the next
week.
So it's just hard, and yeah, we've never had the exposure. It was the James gigs. That was the first time we got decent exposure. And then we still say it to this day, that was the most important point for us as a band, what's giving us the best opportunity to end up leaving work and doing it full time. But yeah, if you get them opportunities, you just got to grab them. And luckily we were ready to grab them because we've been slogging it out for the fucking years prior.
I was going to say, is there not training in what you've done? Is there not having the back catalogue of some, like, I think some of the best stuff you've done is on Cavalcade, which is
Cavalcade, yeah.
5 years old, isn't it? So
yeah.
Like, so having that back catalogue, when you come to a live gig now, that people have gone, do you know what? I might only like four of your songs off every album, but because you've got the back catalogue.
Yeah.
I still like enough of, to do every... You could do a song, you could do a full hour-long set where I love every single tune.
Bangers.
Yeah, and that's it. You've just had the best night of your life, haven't you? And I think maybe there's something in having that foundation behind you.
No, of course it is. It makes us appreciate it more. And yeah, so like at the minute, we've got four albums worth of tunes now. So picking a set list of 20 songs, it's fucking hard. And we'll argue between us.
Or easy at the same time.
Yeah. And
you're not going, fucking hell, can we actually fill a set here?
Exactly, yeah. So we can do a set. We can do like full-on proper long gigs and stuff. But having that sort of apprenticeship, let's say, of doing, slogging it out and doing I remember we did a gig in Doncaster, it was once, and the lads laugh about this. I remember getting there after work, left work, drove to fucking Doncaster, got there, and we'd just done a sound check and we were backstage and it was empty. Honestly, there was the bar staff in and Justin who helps us out move our gear, and that was it. And then I'm saying, lads, what the fuck are we doing here, man? Like, you know, why are we here on a Tuesday night doing this gig? And as with that, the other band who were on with us were in the backstage with us. I just had my head looking down at the floor and the lad in the band had our shoes on. And I just thought, what the fuck's going on with my life? I'm in Doncaster on a Tuesday night, stood next to this dickhead with our shoes on. And he'd done it, you know, he picked to wear them. It's not like he got dressed in the dark. I said to the lads, what are we doing? You know, what are we here for? You know, we're fucking slogging our guts out here and we're doing a gig and this lad can't even fucking be asked getting dressed. And then, so... Yeah, we did that gig, but we always say, whatever we get, it's got to be better than that. And so that's like the fucking low point. So like, if we go and do a gig, whatever, we always have that to judge it on. And that's why we'll go and do gigs and we'll blast the gig out. And if wherever we are, we'll just hit that gig as if we're playing to fucking 40,000 people, whatever. And it does give you that when we get that chance with James to play and support them. We're ready because we're thinking... We don't want to go back to Doncaster.
Yeah.
We want to make
sure. Is that the worst ever gig?
I'm sure the lads will say others, but we had one in Middlesbrough once, which is a bit of a shitter. First time I had Nando's, actually. So that was all right. I've never had Nando's before. But Middlesbrough, Doncaster. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the cities, but those are ones where they just stick out. They stick out for us. Yeah. Bad times, man.
Right. I think, what's the next one that we've got?
Oh, we did a live stream.
Is it Killing Me?
Last night, yeah, we did a live stream last night on our Facebook page, and this is Killing Me. So, pardon the quality of the sound, because obviously we're just recording in our practice room. It's Killing Me, and it's our current single, and we will have a proper video for this
within the next 7 days. This is a rip off the live stream that they did last night. And for anyone interested, do you know producer Chris of Full Time Devils? Used to be from Full Time Devils. Well... He does all their videos. So
yeah, he's done all three.
How's that for a small world?
Yeah, very small.
So yeah, this is Killing Me from the Slow Readers Club. This is a rip off their Facebook page, and we'll give you links to their channels and all the rest of that in the description. But let's take it away.
Thank you very much.
And there we go. That is Killing Me, which is a live stream from yesterday, we said.
Last night, yeah.
Buzzing.
7 o'clock last night.
Before we go, we do a couple more minutes, and then I'm going to roll it out with what my favourite tune, and also voted as we were saying before, the Song of the Decade by XS Readers. Speaking of which, Joe said he was going to be here tonight.
XS Listeners.
XS Listeners. Yeah.
Sorry, it's hard to read the radio, isn't it?
Yeah. But can do, though.
No, yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. True. Yeah. If it's in Morse code. But no, you can't, because that's listening as well, isn't it?
Should we get some questions in from you lot? And let us know if you want us to do more like music stuff. I mean, obviously not once we're in lockdown. It's just me and my iTunes. It's probably shit, but if we can get more bands in, would you like to see us do that? Get some questions in. Have you got any questions for Jim? Anything particular about being in a band? Like best and worst parts of touring?
Best parts are just getting to see different cities and stuff. And then the worst part is getting to them cities, in a van.
In a van.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking sad, man. it's top. I'm not moaning. It's absolutely mint being in a band and getting to see all these places. But being in a band, when you're on tour, there's a lot of waiting about. So you literally get up in the morning, you're traveling, so you're waiting to get there. You get there, you do your sound check, then you're waiting to do your gig, then you pack away, and then you're waiting for the next day. But it's top. So I'm not moaning before people say I am.
Mark says, let Jim and the guys use your studio on Wednesday for their next live stream. As I just said to you, well, we was listening to that song. I'd have yous in here just playing music anyway.
We'll
Spotify on.
If we're allowed, we'll be back. I promise you.
Martin says, this guy's just fucking wicked. Tough work. Tough working and playing in a band. What are these lot doing here now?
Movie some shit. I know, isn't it?
Like, is there not a better time for that? Added the cost of studio time and rent, equipment maintenance, marketing and travel. Yeah, I mean, is that what it was? Is a major killer? Just trying to find the time that you go, yeah, do you know what? And we can smash this full time now. Is it sales on records, or is it? Because I imagine people are not even buying them.
Our size, we've like the Spotify stuff, fucking, you may as well not. Like, obviously the tunes are on there for people to listen to, but we don't see it. Anything.
It's just the advertising.
If you're Ed Sheeran, Spotify's giving you loads of dough. But when you're our size, we just hope that we'd get on a playlist from Spotify, you know, like a New Music Friday or whatever it might be. We've not had any of that yet. But for us, they say, like, bands nowadays, it's T-shirts and tickets.
Wow.
That's what they say. So, you know, it's buying merch at a gig, buying merch on our web store, buying, obviously, at the minute, tickets, because we can't do the gigs. We're not getting that money for no sales, so it's crippling us at the minute. But with people who are buying the albums, or buying T-shirts, or buying like the hats we've got, or whatever, you know, that helps tick us along and keep us going. And we're having to sort of think outside the box now and think how can we, because we're not in a band to make money. If we were to make money, we'd be doing something else, because you don't make money being in a band at our size. But unfortunately, we need it in order to carry on full time and get more time to write tunes and everything to pay the bills like everyone else does. So we try to think outside the box and doing stuff where we could potentially get some sort of money coming in to keep us ticking along until we can redo these gigs whenever they get rescheduled. So these live streams and things like that, like to do a proper one, which we're going to try and do, we need to pay a sound man, we need to pay someone who does the lights, someone who films it, we need to hire the venue. So all these things are going to cost. And we'll pay it out of our own pocket. But maybe, and a lot of our fans have said, they'd be willing to contribute and pay for stuff. So I don't know, maybe that's something we look into in order to keep us going, but we're certainly not doing it to rinse people. Because people are losing their fucking jobs left, right and centre, you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you think that's what's changed in the music industry like the last 20 years? Because obviously it was sales, then Napster happened.
Yeah, Napster, yeah, definitely. When Napster happened, and then obviously people could just download what they wanted for nothing. And don't get me wrong, I did it myself. Like getting to number one wasn't what it used to be, because you weren't earning the money, because people could just, you might get to number one, but you might get number one only selling a small number, because everyone else has got to download it for nothing, you know, off the internet. So since Napster come out, it's all about gigs, selling tickets to gigs. And that's why you want to go and watch a band, a big act. That's why you're having to pay 150, 200 quid.
Yes, the gigs went from
tickets
being
are fucking, yeah,
you're on par to football tickets in terms of price for the longest time, and then they've just gone like, and you're like, fucking hell.
And it's because of the streaming stuff, and especially when Napster came in, and it was like the illegal downloading, whatever. But that's when these acts thought, shit, we're not making any money anymore. So tickets went up. And it's not the acts who are choosing to do it, but there's that many people on the payroll when you do a gig.
Record label and that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just one of the consequences of doing that. But what can you do?
Right, I did see a good question earlier on, which I didn't ask you. Would you rather score... It was something along these lines, so sorry if I'm going to fuck it up. But it was, would you rather score a goal at Old Trafford or play a gig at Old Trafford? Both packed, by the way. Not just like playing a gig.
I'd rather score a last-minute winner at the cop end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at the cop end in Anfield. Literally, and we've been getting battered for 95 minutes.
I kissed John O'Shea on the mouth that night. After,
did you?
Yeah, he was out with Wes Brown and Giggs. I just fucking palmed him. I was like, come here, you.
Yeah, and I'd rather it go in like off my arse or something. Something completely fluky.
Not even a cracker.
And it just goes in. I'm not arsed. Yeah,
giving it to the crowd as well.
Oh yeah, big yeah. I think I'd jump into the crowd.
And out to the ears, like what yeah. fucking saying?
I don't know what I'd do. I remember years ago we were watching United. We went to Blackburn. He was part to watch United, and it was when Tevez was playing for United, and we were getting beat. And it was
it a 5-3 or that?
No, I think it ended up being 1-1 or whatever. We were getting beat, and Brad Friedel was having a typical game of his life against us, like he used to always do, and we scored an equaliser. And then I remember we scored the equaliser, and the next thing I was fucking on the touchline, like on the floor, with like stewards around me. But there's loads of United fans just all, you know, like you do when there's that rush forward. And I remember thinking, if we score another goal here, I think the full stand is just going to empty on the pitch. And we didn't score that next goal, but that was one of the good nights that.
Paul says all about the merch for the band. Someone asking about our merch, the Paddock hoodies. Yeah, we got the new catalogue from Umbro today, so it's probably going to change. Has the band got a merch site? Says John, and yes, we've just stuck it in the comments. Go nice check one. It out.
Cheers.
Make it a regular thing. Plenty of mint bands. I mean, Manchester is great for bands.
Yeah.
What should we do about the Blossoms though? Because they're all blues, aren't they?
From Stockport, aren't they?
I'm saying no more.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Our boy in there really likes them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ask him if he's got tickets for them.
Have you got tickets for them?
I used to, but the rearranged gig now means...
It's August, isn't it? And it August when they rearranged to, I saw the other day. I don't know whether that'll happen, you know, if I'm honest. Hopefully they do, because obviously, you know, they're in the same boat as us. But, yeah, they are from Stockport.
Fabian says, tips on keeping a band creative and motivated to continue on?
Play gigs, man. Honestly, like I know people say, right. Yeah, you should be writing tunes, but play gigs because it just makes you better as a band. You get tighter as a band, and you start realizing what makes a good gig and how you perform as a live band. But definitely get out there in front of people. Get your shit on YouTube. Get people listening to you.
P Savage saying, get the Blossoms on would be good banter. Opinions on Jerry Cinnamon, says Oliver.
No, we played a gig with him. We did Neighbourhood last year with him, and it's mad. He's fucking got a proper hardcore.
He's just got one, hasn't he?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, Ed Sheeran's one person with a guitar, and he'll have like all the middle of the road people, you know, like the mums and dads and that at his gigs. And then Jerry Cinnamon seems to have all like the young fucking lads who are absolutely off the nut, and they love getting them coloured flares out and all that.
Oh, is
so,
he a flare guy?
Yeah. So nice. Fair play to him. Yeah, he's obviously nailing it. And you know, at the end of the day, if other people are doing well, it makes
fucking good songs as well.
Yeah. And it makes other people, and it makes like the likes of us or whoever think if he can do it, then we can do it. Whatever. So yeah.
Right, I'm going to say, Jim, thank you very much for coming on.
No worries.
I do think we'll get you on again. Honestly, I can't fucking wait until we do that.
We'll be back, definitely.
And all that's left for me to say is do my fucking Graham Norton thing and say, this is probably, it's probably between this and You Open Up My Heart, I think these two. Yeah. And actually, maybe Forever In Your Debt, I like that one as well. But it's probably just edged by these. And this is Lunatic by the Slow Readers Club. And after this, we're out of here. So I'll see you.
Do elbows and that elbows. Because that just proving now, like my mum and dad, look, I am elbowing people. You know what I mean? I'm not shaking.
Not like Mai Tai style.
Because maybe I get a phone call. What are you doing shaking someone's hand?
But listen, thank you guys for tuning in. Their channel, they've got their own YouTube channel where they're going to be doing streams as well. That link is in the description. Check them out on Facebook. Check the website out. Go and support them. The link is on Spotify. Get them some fucking downloads. They're a Manchester band, Manchester lads, United fans. Let's get them some fucking listens. This is my favourite tune, Lunatic.
Nice one, mate.